Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Very, very thankful that you're with us here on this Monday as we start our second week in a series of God as a Matchmaker, a marvelous teaching by Derek Prince coming out of both the Word and his own life in two amazing and holy marriages. I'm just really thankful for this teaching, really thankful for its impact in my own life, and you are not going to want to miss it. Log on to the website at derekprince.org if you've missed any of these teachings. But right now, get your Bible, get a pen, get a notebook, and let's listen as Derek teaches us about God is a matchmaker.
This week, I'm continuing with my theme from last week, God is a matchmaker, a theme which unfolds God's plan for marriage and how you can fit in with it. In my talks last week, I established the fact that in his teaching on marriage, Jesus went right back to God's purpose in creation. He refused to accept any lower standard. He always began his answer with the phrase, "In the beginning." And for any Jew in that time, that was a direct reference to the book of Genesis, for the Hebrew name for the book of Genesis is "In the beginning." So that's where Jesus went for his teachings and his standard of marriage. In the pattern for marriage set by God in creation, we find four successive phases. First, marriage was God's decision, not Adam's. The initiative came from God. Second, God formed Eve for Adam. He accepted that responsibility. Third, God brought Eve to Adam. Adam did not have to wander around looking for his chosen helpmeet. And fourth, God established the terms of their relationship. And the purpose of their relationship was unity. The two should become one flesh. Now it's my conviction that all these four principles still apply today in the outworking of God's purpose for marriage in our lives. In two of my talks last week, I shared with you how these principles worked out in my own life, in both my first and my second marriage. Let me briefly restate the principles before we go further. First, marriage should be God's decision, not man's. The initiative is with God. Second, God forms the woman for the man. It's his responsibility. Third, God brings the woman to the man. And fourth, God establishes the terms of their relationship. Now this week I'm going to share with you further practical lessons that I've learned both from Scripture and in my own personal experience. I'm going to show you how you can apply these biblical principles for marriage in your own life. First of all, I'd like to give you two key verses from Proverbs, both of which speak about God's provision of a wife. Proverbs 18:22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." To me, that verse indicates that in a certain sense we are dependent on the Lord's favor for the choice of the right helpmeet. We cannot simply trust our own judgment, but if we are walking in the favor of God, then he will see to it that we find the kind of wife or the kind of husband that we need. And then in Proverbs 19:14, "House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Again, the suggestion is that in the area of choosing the right helpmeet, we have to have God's help. It's God's favor. It's God's provision that we must rely upon. We cannot rely merely on our own judgment or our own efforts. I'm interested in that word in Proverbs 19:14, the word prudent. I've checked with various modern translations, and all of them use the same word, prudent. It's rather an interesting word. It's not a very common word in contemporary English, but it has very clear meaning. A woman of intelligence, of practical wisdom, a woman to whom things can be committed and she can do them with responsibility. It's a very embracing word, and it means a great deal to me because, as I've indicated already, I've been married twice, and each time my wife came to me from the Lord, and each time I would have to say, if there's one word that really describes my wife, it's prudent. And I tell you, it's a blessing to live with a prudent woman. I'd also say that any man who has a prudent wife is very foolish if he doesn't consult her. I shared all my major decisions with both my wives. In the last resort, I believe, as head of the family, I held the ultimate responsibility for the decisions made. But I always invited the counsel of my wife. And never do I, with any kind of self-assertive confidence, go flat in face of my wife's opinion or counsel. I believe if God has given you a prudent wife, you're foolish if you don't avail yourself of her prudence. Now, having just looked at those two verses from Proverbs, I want to go on to a general principle of guidance, which applies in this and in every situation in which a believer needs guidance. There are two kinds of guidance in the Christian life: general guidance and special guidance. General guidance is guidance that applies to all believers at all times. It's based on principles. Special guidance is guidance that God gives to a believer in a certain situation which might not apply to another believer, even in the same situation. Now, general guidance comes to us primarily from one source, and that source is the Scripture. And what I want to say today is, we have no right to expect special guidance if we reject general guidance. We can only qualify for special guidance if we are walking in the light of the guidance that God has made available to us through the Scripture.
I want you to notice that Derek said that a man with a prudent wife is a fool if he doesn't consult her. That may not sound like submission, but it's definitely wisdom. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Choosing a mate is one of the most important decisions you will ever make. So how do you make the right choice? In his enlightening book, God is a Matchmaker, Derek Prince gives practical biblical advice on how to avoid heartbreak by preparing for marriage God's way. Derek shares from personal experience how God led him to marriage, and he reveals how others in your life, such as parents, pastors, and trusted friends, can play an important role when making life-changing decisions. Normally $12.95, this powerful and practical resource is yours for a limited time for only $9.95. Order your copy or get one for someone you love when you call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Life is not a fairy tale, but there is a happily ever after when you follow God's plan. Order God is a Matchmaker now. And when you do, we'll also include Derek's helpful booklet, The Choice of a Partner, at no extra charge. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad that you're with us today. We're listening to Derek Prince talk about God as a matchmaker, and today he's talking about how the Word of God should condition our marriages. Oh, for marriages in our generation that are shaped by the Word of the living God. Let's listen.
I want to go on to a general principle of guidance, which applies in this and in every situation in which a believer needs guidance. There are two kinds of guidance in the Christian life: general guidance and special guidance. General guidance is guidance that applies to all believers at all times. It's based on principles. Special guidance is guidance that God gives to a believer in a certain situation which might not apply to another believer, even in the same situation. Now, general guidance comes to us primarily from one source, and that source is the Scripture. And what I want to say today is, we have no right to expect special guidance if we reject general guidance. We can only qualify for special guidance if we are walking in the light of the guidance that God has made available to us through the Scripture. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says this to the Lord, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." What do we walk with? We walk with feet. What do we walk on? We walk on a path. God's word provides light both for our feet and for our path. It does not always illuminate the distant seen, but it means that if we walk in obedience to the word of God as it applies to our lives in any situation, we will never be in complete darkness. We'll always have enough light to see the next step that we need to take. And that's all that faith demands. But if we reject the light of God's word, then we have no right to go to God in some circumstances and ask for special guidance. If we ignore the principles of God's word about marriage, we have no right to expect God to guide us specifically in a given situation as to whom to marry. General guidance comes before special guidance, and general guidance comes from the Word of God, the Scripture. Now I'm going to apply the general guidance of Scripture to the particular subject that I'm speaking about today, the choice of a helpmeet, a marriage mate. The Bible has certain very clear principles laid down. The first and the most important, and one which unfortunately believers often overlook to their own sorrow, is that a true believer has no right to marry an unbeliever. It's not even right to consider such a union. It's outside the will of God. Anybody who does that is not walking in the light of Scripture. This is what Paul says about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. He's speaking to believers. "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." The word yoke all through the Bible primarily indicates a marriage relationship. It can also cover other relationships. "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial or the devil? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." So there is a clear ray of light for our path from the Scripture. If we can't see anything else, we can see this, that in any situation where a believer is free to make a choice, it is wrong for a believer to choose marriage with an unbeliever. And I want to say that in this respect, we need to have this principle established before we get emotionally involved. Remember, I have raised or helped to raise 11 daughters, so I have some experience. I've seen that when a young woman gets emotionally involved with a young man, her judgment is no longer reliable, and she can easily persuade herself that the man she's marrying is really a believer, even though the fruit isn't there. Jesus said the tree is known by its fruit. Don't accept merely a person's statement that he or she is a believer. Look at that person's life and see what kind of fruit comes out of it. I would say this, that if a person has just recently professed faith in Jesus Christ, conversion to the Lord, it takes time for the reality of that conversion to be proved. In my long experience in pastoral ministry, I would say it's rash to assume the real final commitment of any believer before a time of about 2 years.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised that we need to conduct our marriages according to the manufacturer's handbook. God created marriage, and God knows how it ought to run. There's so much more great stuff to come, including some special time with Ivar van de Stade, the DPM office head in Holland, as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Choosing a mate is one of the most important decisions you will ever make. So how do you make the right choice? In his enlightening book, God is a Matchmaker, Derek Prince gives practical biblical advice on how to avoid heartbreak by preparing for marriage God's way. Derek shares from personal experience how God led him to marriage, and he reveals how others in your life, such as parents, pastors, and trusted friends, can play an important role when making life-changing decisions. Normally $12.95, this powerful and practical resource is yours for a limited time for only $9.95. Order your copy or get one for someone you love when you call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Life is not a fairy tale, but there is a happily ever after when you follow God's plan. Order God is a Matchmaker now. And when you do, we'll also include Derek's helpful booklet, The Choice of a Partner, at no extra charge. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and it's great to have you with us today. We have a very special friend calling in from the Netherlands. Ivar van de Stade is the director of DPM in the Netherlands, and what a fascinating area that is. His responsibilities not only include portions of Northern Europe, of the continent, but also Eastern Europe, and we're going to be asking him about that. Ivar, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
I'm so glad that you are. Tell me now how you came to Jesus personally, Ivar, and then also tell me how you came to be connected with Derek Prince and Derek Prince Ministries.
Well, actually, that's not much of a very spectacular story, although to many it is. My personal conversion was when I was 14, and I had this very wise youth leader who responded to my question about the meaning of the cross. Basically, I was raised as a Pentecostal kid, and my stinking sin, so to speak, was restricted to stealing a cookie from mommy's cookie jar. So I had this known battle with realizing that I needed salvation, and I asked her, what is the meaning of the cross? And she says, well, you know, Eva, let's pray that the Holy Spirit convicts you of the need for salvation and convicts you of sin. And that's what we did. And then all of a sudden, I saw my egocentrism, and I saw that I really needed salvation. And that is a point at 14 years old. And I feel very privileged to be able to say so today, that I rendered my life to Jesus. And I have never, ever had a moment that I regretted it, and that I, got renegade, so to speak. Although I was a leader's kid, imagine. And then how I got connected with Derek Prince Ministries. I've always been involved in Christian work, and one of the nice details of my life is that I actually smuggled Derek Prince books into China before I had ever read one of his books. That was at a courier's trip from Hong Kong. I was working with an organization, and I carried Derek's books into China. And then it was not until 3 years later that someone, my predecessor with Derek Prince Ministries, approached me in Holland and said, we would love to have Derek Prince teaching available in Holland. I was trained as a journalist at that time, and I was working as a journalist, and they invited me to start publishing Derek's teaching. And that is how I got involved with Derek's teaching. And then one more detail is that when we got married, we were taught about the covenant. And that was based on Derek Prince's book, the Marriage Covenant. And I am ever so grateful that at that early stage in our marriage, we knew that marriage is all about dying to self and rendering your life to the other. And so that are just few of the very early blessings I got from Derek Prince Ministries.
Ivar, that is wonderful. I'm delighted to hear it. That's a moving story. And, you know, so many of the leaders for DPM are people who came to Jesus early in their lives like you did. So that's inspiring to us. Now, help us understand, especially we Americans who don't tend to know as much about Europe, your context there in the Netherlands. The impression that we get about Europe is that it's moving away from the gospel towards neo-paganism, we're told, or towards Islam. And so if that's even remotely true, you must have quite a challenging situation there.
Yes, we have, Stephen. It's if you look at Holland is a small nation, a really small nation. You drive through it in just 3 hours in length and 2 hours in broad, but still we live with 16 million people in our nation. And within Europe, Holland is as privileged to have almost up to a million Christians, which to European standards is quite much. That is Christians from all kinds of denominational backgrounds. But there's quite a few number of Christians in our nation. But as soon as you go more south, for instance, to Belgium, then we are talking about one of the least evangelized nations in the world, and the born again, spirit filled body of Christ in Belgium, opposed to Holland, counts less than 10,000 Christians on a population of 5 million. So that depicts large differences between Europe and between the several nations of Europe. Then we have France, of course, where with their very libertarian culture, there is not much access to the gospel at all. Where, by the way, a Dutch colleague of mine, René de Groot, is working hard on spreading their teaching in the French language. Well, it is too many countries to go one by one, of course. But if you look at the whole of Europe, it is indeed true that Muslim faith is coming up strongly in our nations. But at the same time, we believe that that the Lord is going to restore our area to the gospel, because many of the European nations have a Christian background somewhere in the past. And as you may have heard in the press, there have been discussions about the European Constitution missing any mention of God, and there's been much protest against that. But you're right when you say that on the whole, Europe gradually seems to be going away from the gospel. But we know that, well, we're working hard to do something about it, and we see exciting things happening as well.
Well, we're so proud of you and proud of the work that you're doing there in Europe. And Ivar, I have a lot of other questions for you. I'd like for you to come back later in the week and let me ask you some more about what you're doing there, especially in Eastern Europe. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, of course.
That would be wonderful. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's encouraging book, God is a Matchmaker, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $9.95. And when you order, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's insightful booklet, The Choice of a Partner, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.